Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, April 18th, the third Sunday in the Easter season. Thank you for joining me online today for Scripture and a Sermon. I want to share with you two Scripture readings today. First, from the letter of 1 John, the first seven verses of chapter 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in them, purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. And one more reading from the evening of that very first Easter Sunday. This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 24, the beginning at verse 36. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when I was in seminary, I was warned that when a pastor has children, there's a temptation for him or her to make every sermon illustration about their children. And at the time, I smiled and nodded and said, "Of course not, I would never do that." But you know what? Having a kid is great for sermon illustrations. And now that I'm consciously trying to not inflict stories about Micah onto you every week, I'm noticing how often the Bible uses parent and child imagery to describe our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. So this week, I'm just going with it. So bear with me. Recently, Micah has been in this new stage where he's figured out that objects have names, and so he wants to know what everything is called. So he'll pick up something, and he'll hold it out for you to tell him, and then he'll put it down and pick up the next thing. So, red ball, animal book, TV remote. He's got the names down for most of his toys, and he can't say them out loud, but if you say, "Micah, can you go get your monkey?" he'll go get the stuffed monkey, and he'll hold it up for you proudly. It's very cute. But it's a gradual process. He's got this set of brightly colored stacking cups, and every time he holds one up, which is multiple times per day, we'll say, "Yellow cup, green cup, or red cup." And then you can say, "Micah, go get your red cup." And he will. It's wonderful. He's learning his colors. What a smart kid we have. And then you say, "Micah, can you go get your green cup?" And he'll hold up a monkey, or the red cup, and look just as proud. Every time that I think he's got his colors down, he'll enthusiastically grab the wrong one. He's making lots of progress, but he's not there yet. He doesn't have it figured out nearly as much as I would like him to. Just today, we were playing with the shape sorter. He puts the round shape in the round hole, put the square shape in the square hole, and then try really hard to fit the round shape into the square hole. He's almost got it, but he's not there yet. And I suspect that's how God feels about us. 1 John chapter 3 says, we are children of God, which is really good news. This is our identity. This is who we are. What a wonderful gift from God. And then a few verses later, it continues, no one who abides in God sins. No one who sins has either known him or seen him. That's the goal, right? The goal of life as a Christian is to get to that place of abiding in Jesus, dwelling with God, so filled with the Holy Spirit that we no longer sin. We want to be so confident, so full of faith, so trusting in God for life and salvation and everything we need that we simply are who God created us to be. Do you know the word sanctification? It's a good church word that we Lutherans tend not to use very much, but it's an important concept. Sanctification is the process of transforming our lives, transforming from sinner to saint, the process of growing more and more holy, more like Jesus. Someone suggested sanctification is like when you're wearing braces, and eventually, after enough time and enough pain, your overbite will straighten out and your teeth will be properly aligned the way that they're supposed to be. It's a gradual process of becoming less sinful, less crooked, if you will, more the way that God intends you to be, getting to that place of righteous purity. And some Christians believe that you can see sanctification happening. And if you work at it hard enough, you can get there. You can be holy. We Lutherans are more cautious about talking about sanctification. I think because we tend to be more realistic about how sinful we are and how broken this world is. We follow Martin Luther's insight that we are sinners until we die. Sanctification is not going to be complete. We're not going to get there this side of heaven. As long as we're alive and breathing, no matter how good we get at finding the red cup and fitting the plush-shaped toy in the plush-shaped hole, no matter how much we practice and work at it, sometimes we're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to grab the yellow cup instead, or the monkey. It's who we are as people, as human beings. We are captive. We're in bondage to sin. But even in our sinful nature, God is still working on us. God is making us into who God wants us to be. What we will be, John says, has not yet been revealed. God is not done with us. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We are children of God here and now. That is what you are. Both saint, redeemed and claimed by God, and also sinner, a sinner who will keep sinning for your entire life. Saint and sinner, both at once. Living as a child of God does not mean being perfect. That's impossible. But to be a Christian is to accept this identity, to agree to let God raise you, to let God transform you in a way that will make you different from the world. In baptism, you are adopted out of God's, out of the world's way of living. You're adopted out of the world's way of living and into God's family. And you might not always look like a child of God, like the saint God has claimed you to be. You may not always act like God's child. In fact, I can guarantee you won't always act like God's child. You won't live up to the family name, such as it is. You may not get along with, you may not even like some of the other people in this family, but you have been loved into God's family. You belong. God wants a relationship with you. And it's easy to see the places where we fall short. Maybe it's grabbing the wrong colored cup. Maybe it's dramatic sins like murder or theft or something like that. Or more likely, it's less dramatic, making choices out of selfishness or fear. Maybe it's putting ourselves ahead of our neighbors, trusting in ourselves, trusting in our own efforts rather than in God. The wrong things we do, and the good things, the right things we leave undone. It doesn't take much effort to see that gap between God's goodness, God's holiness, and us. And perhaps Lutherans are particularly good at seeing this gap with the way that we remember and confess our sin whenever we gather together for worship, our understanding that nothing we do, nothing we can ever do, will ever bring us closer to God. None of our efforts are worth anything to get closer to God. We can't save ourselves by our own good works. We can't even work on our own sanctification. We need God's help. We rely on the work of the Holy Spirit to make any progress at all. We see the gap between the way that we are and the way that we are created to be, the gaps of a world that is obviously broken. I suspect that's where those disciples in our story tonight, this morning, are on that first Easter evening. I think the gaps where they fall short were really obvious to them on that first Easter night. They know Jesus is alive again, and obviously they're excited about that. They're excited to see him again, but they're still uncertain. I think they're ashamed. I mean, think about what happened. These people had abandoned Jesus, abandoned their master, their friend. They'd not believed him. They'd run away. They'd even denied knowing him in Peter's case. So when they see the living Jesus there present with them, they're startled. They're terrified. Even after he's shown them his hands and his feet, Luke says, in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. It's too good to be true. But Jesus still comes to them. Jesus still offers them peace. After everything that they'd done and failed to do, after he's out of the tomb, Jesus comes and stands among these flawed disciples, and he keeps on teaching them. He opens their minds to understand the scriptures, explaining what had happened, explaining what they, frankly, ought to know already, because he told them before, explaining that the Messiah must die and after 3 days be raised again. And as we find out when we keep reading, they still don't understand everything. Oh, they understand more than before, certainly, but they will keep growing and learning. There's no graduation here. They're not finished. They'll keep fighting and arguing about silly things, even though they are witnesses to the resurrection. Even after Jesus has ascended into heaven and they're leading the church, they make progress, but they still don't get it all. Just like us. And that's okay, because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive, and even though we don't understand it yet, our Heavenly Father names us children of God. Even though we have lots of room to grow in faith and love and to grow in knowledge and understanding, the Holy Spirit is at work. We are learning. We may not see where we're going, and the progress may not always be obvious. What we will be has not yet been revealed. We're not there yet. But what we know is that the Holy Spirit is working on us, working on you, making you more loving, more faithful, more like Jesus. Because of Easter, we know that even though we still live in a sinful, fallen, broken world, even though we still sin, even though death is real, because of Easter, we know how the story ends. We know where this is going. Jesus wins. Death is defeated. It's easy to see where we fall short, but don't get stuck looking at your sins and your failures. Open your eyes to see God's forgiveness, God's love for you. Yes, everyone who commits sin is guilty, but Jesus was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So let no one deceive you. God loves you. You are God's child now. What you will be has not yet been revealed. But what we know is this: God's kingdom is coming, and when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.